Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The title of this message is The Lure of Adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery, Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Living in this fallen world, we all know that daily we are all bombarded with images and enticements of every sort and advertisements for adultery. Yet God says marriage is sacred in His holy eyes. He invented sex, but it wasn't for men and women. It was for husbands and wives. The joy of sex is God's idea. It's His design, and it's reserved for holy matrimony between one man and one woman. And anything outside of that context concerning sex in thought, word, or deed is fornication. And there will be no fornicator in eternal glory. Every single list of soul-damning sins assures us of just such. The joy of sex has a context, and when removed from that God-given and ordained context, great danger occurs. To have sex outside of the context in which our Creator ordained it to be is like a man who tries to row a boat on dry land. He's going nowhere. And those doing any kind of sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman, that's what marriage is, are going nowhere except to eternal damnation. We must repent now and follow Jesus before it's too late. Now, again, sex is by divine design, and it's for one man and one woman privately in holy matrimony. Without exception, every fornicator, every adulterer is going to have their place, is going to have their eternity in the lake of fire, Revelation 21, 8, etc. So we must beware of flirting with disaster by allowing ourselves to be enticed by the lure of fornication. Some call it sexual immorality. The Bible, the real Bible, the King James, calls it fornication. Remember, in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, the scripture says, "Let no man say, when I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So there's stages here, and it all begins with allowing ourselves to be tempted. As of the last few years, probably, I personally like to continually profess and speak out loud and mull over. That's what meditate means. The words of Jesus in Matthew 5:8, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, notice, blessed are the pure in heart. They're the only ones that are going to see God. The Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. And remember, it is when we allow ourselves to be begin to fester and feed upon the temptation. We're all going to be tempted. Temptation is not sin. Even Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, according to the book of Hebrews. So we have to nip it in the bud. We have to deal with it at the root, and the root is the heart. The source is the heart. That's what Scripture teaches. In fact, the Hebrew word for heart is the source. And Jesus speaks in Mark 7 about all of these sins come from your heart. Fornication is one of them. It's Mark 7, 20 through 23. So again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only they shall see God, because God looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Again, James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say, when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. Can't blame temptation on God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Why? Because he's holy, holy, holy. Neither tempteth he any man. And also, 1 Timothy 6, 17, I believe it is, he dwelleth in a light that no man can approach. Then it says in verse 14, James 1, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, when you don't nip it in the bud, you don't lay an axe to the root, you don't deal with it through prayer and the word of God and the cross, lust is going to conceive. It's going to bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, when it's played out, is going to bring forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And let me say this, the wages of sin is still death, because God is holy, holy, holy. He always has been and always will be. And anyone with sin in their lives, one or more, is separated from God. That's what death means. Death means separation. And listen, let me throw this in there. The cross is the only way to overcome sin. You must be crucified with Christ. I am amazed that even people that have been listening to this ministry for many years are still not understanding and applying the cross, the crucified life. Well, how do I do that? Well, you repent afresh and you start learning and confessing and living out obediently, worshipfully, the scriptures on the cross. They're all over the Bible. We have three books on this topic, this central original gospel topic of the cross, the crucified life, and that is only in order to help you embrace what Jesus and the apostles and the prophets taught in Holy Scripture. That's the only reason why we have books. All the scriptures in those books, and they're on every page, are bolded. And so if you're not applying the cross, you shouldn't be wondering why you still have sin in your life. Because let me tell you what it is. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil and you refuse to repent, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. If you've truly repented, you are living and learning to live the crucified life. The Bible says in Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. I want you, my friend, yes, you, to read Romans 6 every morning this week. You must put the cross front and center. You must camp out on the message of the cross and let it begin to take root in your innermost being. And that's why we have the daily cross category on safeguardyoursoul.com. A drop-down menu on the desktop version. Go to daily, D, and you'll see daily cross, or you can go to safeguardyoursoul.com/daily-cross, and you will be blessed to go through every one of those messages. I guess at least half of them have podcasts, so that this message of the cross begins to get down into your innermost being. Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Luke 9:44. Now the striking details concerning the danger that ensues or follows the sin of adultery are captured end Proverbs chapter 6. Notice this beginning in verse 23. For the commandment, that's the written word, is a lamp, and the law, that's the written word also, is light. See, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of his words bringeth light. You see, we all have darkness in our hearts, and that darkness must be eradicated by the light of the truth of God's word. As you seek God with all of your heart, I love 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So it says here, Proverbs 6, as you know, Proverbs chapter 5 through 10 deal a lot with sexual sin, fornication, adultery, etc. Notice, for the commandment, the word of God, is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We're always going to be getting corrected by God as long as we're in this life. I'm just observing that. And it seems that this is what this is saying. So we shouldn't be surprised. We haven't learned everything. We don't do everything we've learned correctly all the time. And you know, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, right? Proverbs 3:12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 12. Notice, the reproofs are, and reproofs of instruction are, the way of life. We shouldn't be surprised. We should just jump to and say, Lord, I was wrong. Forgive me, and repent and confess to sin. Amen. Ask God to multiply his grace, his divine enablement inside of you, so that you're crucified with Christ, you're dead and buried, and thereby being raised up by him who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ, who is now raising you up into that victory that he alone can bring you into. But you've got to surrender. That's what the cross is. It's not more self-effort. It's just simply surrendering. Not my will, Jesus said to the Father, but thine be done. It continues, Proverbs 6:24, to keep thee, that is the word of God and the reproofs of his instruction, to keep thee from the what? From the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Notice this, gentlemen, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. The Bible speaks of those who have eyes full of adultery, 2 Peter 2:14. So the scripture says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Now, it doesn't deny that a woman is beautiful. Women are the most beautiful creature on the planet, especially to men. God designed it that way. But that doesn't mean he allows and justifies or overlooks lust, fornication, covetousness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, etc. If she's not your wife and you're coveting her, you and her aren't supposed to be together. That is sin. Notice, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither. That's a great scripture to memorize. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Notice, in thine heart. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Notice, he didn't say if you look on a woman and notice she's attractive that you've committed. No, no, no. If you look on her to lust, why? Because you're not crucified with Christ. Therefore, your heart is still out of control. It's full of darkness. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and you can't know it. You just have to obey God, love him enough to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See how much the flesh and the devil like it when you start speaking the word of God out of your mouth and declaring it over your life. I can tell you that the light of Christ comes with the light of his word. Remember, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. And the entrance of his words into your heart and into your environment and your life, when you speak it, eradicates darkness. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids, the seductions of a woman, being misused to seduce a man into a sinful situation. For by means of a whorish woman. Now here's the effects. Here's what is reaped when there is fornication of any kind. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. It has dire consequences on your life, including your finances. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Notice the adulteress is looking to hunt down the man who is in a monogamous relationship with his wife. She is seeking, because Satan indwells her, and she is seeking or hunting for the precious life. Again, it says the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. That's why we must be crucified with Christ. We must not look to the left hand or to the right, but remove our foot from evil, as we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27 of our text here in Proverbs 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? See the picture here? When you take the fire of lust and covetousness and sexual sin, fornication and adultery of the heart, when you take that into your heart and bosom, it's going to burn not only within, but it's going to burn outwardly. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can you walk on hot coals without your feet being burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Gentlemen, you and I are never to touch another man's wife or any woman that we're not married to. And where does the touch begin? It begins in the heart with the lust that we would allow to fester in our hearts. We must cut off the hand and pluck out the eye that causes us to offend, lest our whole body be cast into hell, where the fire will never be quenched, neither will your consciousness ever cease. That's what he means when he uses the idiom of their worm dieth not. The worm, your worm, if you will, means your consciousness. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. That doesn't bother people as much, and rightfully so, as compared to adultery. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Remember, saints, sexual sin, fornication, deals with the whole person. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Just like Joseph in Genesis 37-39, the most beautiful woman on the planet, Potiphar's wife, was trying to seduce him, and he didn't say, well, I'm a good looking guy, I deserve this. Even though history says he was one of the most handsome men that ever lived, the women would faint when he'd walk in the room. But he was a godly man. He said, how can I sin against God by doing this? And he fleed fornication, so much so and to his own hurt, that she, Potiphar's wife, grabbed his cloak and held it and then blamed him for trying to rape her. We all know about false accusations that happen. We've all seen these things, and this is no exception in the days of Joseph when he was thrown in jail by being falsely accused. We must flee fornication. What matters is what God sees, not what man sees. Flee fornication. What do you do with fornication? The immediate thought, the seduction of it, flee. Every sin that a man doeth, he says, is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. So back to Proverbs chapter 6. We're now in verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get. In other words, anybody who commits adultery with another man's wife, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. When a person sins, as was the case of the beloved David, when he committed adultery with
Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and then committed consequent sins, he was forgiven upon repentance when God sent the prophet Nathan to his life, and who rebuked him with a parable, 2 Samuel, beginning in chapter 11. David was forgiven instantly by God, but he had to reap dire consequences for his sin. And you know, the flesh and Satan are never going to remind you of what reaping you're going to have to endure when they're enticing you and seducing you to enter into something you know is a sin. So if you commit adultery, a wounded dishonor shall you get, and the reproach of such will not be wiped away, as it was not for David. He was forgiven, but he had to reap what he sowed. And the same is for us also. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So that was Proverbs 6, verse 23 through 35. Notice also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's pick up in verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, here it is, even your sanctification, to be set apart unto the Lord. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 says, the Lord has set apart him that is holy for himself. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or secret desire for that which is forbidden. That's what concupiscence means. Notice, not in the lust of concupiscence. Today, the world calls it having an affair or having a fantasy that you're lusting to do, these evil concupiscence, this secret desire for that which is forbidden. God sees all the way down into the midst of our heart. He sees it all. And anybody who dies with evil concupiscence, having this sinful, evil, dark desire to carry out something that God said is sin, is going to be in hell for all eternity. I know you've probably never heard that, but that's exactly what the Bible says. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. This is stuff the world does. This isn't stuff a true born-again believer that is abiding in Christ, which means he's crucified with Christ, is participating in. He is eradicating all sin from his spirit and body. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, but all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want you to memorize that verse. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Write it on an index card, as usual, the King James Bible. Using a fake Bible is like showering or bathing with dirty water. It's corruption. Use the washing of water of the Word of God, the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people, the King James Bible. We've got a lot on that on safeguardyoursoul.com under the Bible versions issue category, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now, in this context, now we should never betray a brother behind his back in any matter. But the context here is lusting after somebody else's wife. Whatever you got to do, and that's the cross, you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to be crucified with Christ until those evil desires are nullified. The only way to do that is the cross. There is no shortcut. There is no alternative. solution. Jesus said you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily if you're going to follow him. We are crucified with Christ, those that are truly his, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now that's a verse you can memorize so that you're able to regurgitate it. You're able to mull it over. You're able to speak it when that temptation hits. Again, temptation's not sin. It's sin when you begin to fester it or enter into it or entertain it. Again, James 1:13 through 15. So for God hath not called us unto uncleanness. Sexual uncleanness includes masturbation, any kind of sex outside of marriage, any kind of viewing of any illicit imagery or any of that stuff is absolutely unclean. Remember, in the Bible, in the Gospels, Jesus would cast out unclean spirits. For example, Luke chapter 6, verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Jesus cast out unclean spirits and made people whole. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Paul prayed that we would be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Also, Luke 8:29, for he, that's Jesus, had commanded the unclean spirit, there it is, that's going to be a fornicating, adulterous, sexually immoral spirit, to come out of the man, for oftentimes or oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. That's what Satan will do if you allow sin to have a foothold in your life. We're to give no place to the devil. And when Satan tempts us, it's to get us to sin, and sin will take us further than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and charge us more than we want to pay. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, he didn't say there wasn't going to be temptation. He himself was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4. We see Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. But Jesus said the way to overcome is to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation is going to come, but you don't have to enter into it. And the only way you're going to have God's power to not enter into it is to be crucified with Christ, dead and buried, so that he's raising you up in resurrection life, and you are living a life of prayer. You don't just have a prayer life, you're living a life of prayer. You're praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The scripture says in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you don't pray, you will faint. Prayer is to your spiritual life what breathing is to your physical life. If you stop breathing physically, you're gonna die. If you stop praying, if you're not praying without ceasing, you're going to die spiritually. You're not gonna have the grace and the power of God to overcome sin, and therefore you're going to sin, and you're gonna be separated from God by that sin. The wages of sin is still death, and you're gonna be hanging over the flames of eternal damnation. If you die in that state, you are guaranteed by scripture to spend eternity irrevocably without any second chance in the bowels of eternal damnation. So as we finish here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. What has God called us to? Holiness. Remember, be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. All right, verse 8, he therefore that despiseth, those that despise God's word and commit adultery or commit any kind of sexual sin, fornicate, despiseth not man, but God. See, God gave us these commands. Now, I didn't come up with this, but I am preaching it to you and teaching it for all of our hearts to hear and for them to be circumcised by the word of God, this two-edged sword of the word of God. Amen. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Remember, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. God ordained marriage between one man and one woman. And the bed in the Greek, that means the act of marriage, which is sexual intercourse between one man and one woman in holy matrimony. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed, that sex in marriage, undefiled. Sex is not dirty. It's only dirty when you take it outside of the context God ordained it to be in. Now you're playing with fire and you're gonna get burned. It's gonna destroy your life. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And they will be judged into the bowels of eternal damnation. They're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Notice, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Which are these? He's going to name 17 sins. And then at the end of the list, he's going to say this: "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Wait a minute, I'm not saved by my works. Well, your works prove exactly what you actually believe. See, you are and you live what you believe. The rest is simply just religious talk. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Don't you dare say that you're still saved while you're living in sin. You're not saved. You're separated from God because you've chosen sin over the Savior. You've chosen self. You're indulging self instead of crucifying self. You're full of the love of self. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. And that's the only reason why you, like a big coward, hide behind the eternal security heresy from hell that Satan spawned and began in the Garden of Eden, which led to the fall of mankind, and it's still leading to the fall of many today. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security is a lie from hell. It is a doctrine of devils. If that's not a doctrine of devils, there's no such thing as one. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2 tells us that there are going to be those who depart from the faith. That means it's possible. By the way, you had to be in the faith in order to depart from it. And they're going to do so by way of doctrines of devils, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Every person teaching eternal security is under the influence and control of Satan, the one who spawned and taught and originated that false doctrine. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. "Nobody will answer or will take me up on my open invitation to debate those two verses." Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. And to try to prove to everybody, every sane person, that that wasn't the beginning of the once saved, always saved doctrine. They will not take you up on that. Why? Because they can't refute it. It's absolutely irrefutable. Here's 17 sins that we call soul-damning sins, because at the end of this list, Paul is going to say, as we close, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, does that need any explanation? No. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these. Here it is. The first two are what? The first three. Watch this. First four. Adultery. There you go. Sexual sin. Fornication. Again. Uncleanness. Anybody participating in their own stimulation, I'll put it that way, the M word, is unclean in the eyes of God. Because we know you got to commit adultery in your heart by lusting after somebody else in order to do that. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's license for sin. Idolatry. See, this all springs out of self-idolatry in lieu of or instead of crucifying self, so that you're worshiping and obeying the Savior, not the God of self. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit eternal life. I want to encourage you, saints, to look up that daily cross category I talked about earlier, safeguardyoursoul.com/daily-cross. And please share this message and website with others who could be edified and equipped for the work of the ministry and be fed the Word of God and grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant each of us to be holy as He is holy, to grant the grace to lay down our lives, to repent afresh, and to say, Lord, here I am. You must increase. I must decrease. I lay my life in your hands, Lord. From this moment on, I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.